Ephesians. The book of Ephesians and chapter 4. And we are just about halfway through this chapter. And I think it's been, if I remember last week's tally, it's been about 45 or 46 messages from this chapter so far. But it's been a good study. Amen. Been an important study. Last week we began with verse 16, so that's where we'll begin today. In verse 16, and let's read it. From whom, that is from Christ, the head, from whom the whole body, not just me and Brother Ron, but the whole body, the whole of the Ephesian church, the whole of Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. That is, He's joined us together. Each one of us, all of us have been joined together as this body, just as they had done with the Ephesian church, and compacted. Remember last week we said that was compacted together as one. Diverse people, diverse backgrounds, and He's brought us together, fitted us together, and compacted us, made us to be as one. Compacted by that which every joint supplieth, every joint supplying, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. The effectual working. And we see that effectual working is by God. It's by Jesus Christ effectually working in each joint in this church to supply every member. Every part. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And that's what we didn't cover last week, that last phrase. Last week we got from whom? From Christ, the head. We got, it's the whole body. This whole local body. As the Ephesian church was the whole local body. Fitly joined together. Compacted. By that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. And that's a mouthful. This week, we'll be looking at maketh increase of the body, all that working, fitly joined together, compacted, and the effectual working in every joint. Provide the measure for every part. Make of increase of the body under the edifying of itself in love. And that is a mouthful. That has spoken a lot. That has spoken volumes. And I think for the most part, most of us, myself included, don't get it. And most of the members in the Lord's churches don't get it as well. Every member is to be operating in this manner, which brings about increase, an increase in the building up of the body in love. The building up of the body in love. Every member's responsibility to do that, to be working to that end and that accomplishment. Whether you're a joint or just an individual member, just a tendon or a ligament, or just a finger or a thumb or a hand, it is all to be working together for the building up of the body in love. As I said, that says a mouthful. But let's look at it from this standpoint. Turn in with me to a very familiar portion of Scripture. You've heard me quote it many times in reference, but turn with me there to the book of Romans in chapter 5. The book of Romans in chapter 5. In verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed. That is the hope. Because we have believed and it has been counted unto us for righteousness, and we've been justified by faith, and we have this hope in us now, and this hope does not make ashamed. And here's why it doesn't make ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That word abroad simply means a outpouring. It is by God's outpouring, the love of God is outpoured unto me by the working of the Holy Spirit. And in case you didn't know what that means, he goes on to tell you what that is. In the next verses, in the following verses, he tells us that we were once without strength. We were ungodly. We were sinners. But God manifested His love to us in that Christ died for us on the cross. And that was the manifestation of God's love. And then He outpours it at the time of salvation. He outpours us on us through the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Now that is God's love to me being poured out in my heart. I know He loves me. But let's stop and think of it. What this verse doesn't tell us, but it does tell us. You say, well, that don't make sense. Well, it does. Because we see what it's talking about, God's love being outpoured into our heart. But let me reason with you. If God's love is outpoured in our hearts, then what does that say about us? We have God's love. We know we have God's love. We know that God loves us. I know God loved me. How do I know that He loved me? Because I know that Jesus Christ died for my sin. But what's that say about how I ought to act then? Because I know this. I'm confident of this very thing. How's that say I ought to be hacked? Well, turn with me to the book, back to the Ephesians, the 5th chapter. We'll be getting to this in a few weeks, maybe a month, a couple months, maybe a few months. But we'll be getting to it. In verse 1, because we're new creatures, we've put off the old man, we put on the new man. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Listen, God's love is poured out in my heart. And the manifestation of that was in Christ dying for me on the cross. And He in due time made that real to me. When the fullness of time was come, just as when the fullness of time was come, He sent His Son. In the fullness of time, He caused Seth born to repent and believe. And now He says that I'll walk in love. Well, how am I to walk in love? As Christ also hath loved us. And how did He love us? And hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. You see, when we give ourselves to one another in love, because I have the love of God in my heart, I can show you the love of God in my life. And I'm to be doing that. You're to be doing that. Amen. And we're to be doing that to each individual. That is the building up of the body in love. What does He say in the book of Galatians? The book of Galatians in chapter 5, in another verse I've read to you time or two, but Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, let your eyes feast upon it as we read it. Even as Abraham believed God, I've got the wrong chapter. Chapter 5 and verse 6. Okay. And both those verses were in the same spot, just on different pages. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth any works, nor uncircumcision. Works have no profit. But what does have profit? Well, faith. And our faith, which worketh by love. Amen. That same love wherewith God loved me. And now I have faith, I've believed to the saving of my soul. It was counted to me for righteousness. I am justified by faith. That love of God has been outpoured on my heart because I have believed and repented of my sins. And now, because I have faith, I can work the works of love. I can work the works of love toward you. And I am to be working the work of love toward you, as you are to me and as we are to one another in the Lord's church, you see. And that is what He's trying to make known to the Ephesian church there, is that they are to be doing that. Turn with me on that thought to one other passage of Scripture in the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John in chapter 4. And we know the verse, we love Him because He first loved us. But I want to look at verse 16. Two or three verses up from that. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Amen. We love that. We love the fact that we know it, that God loves us. And that He manifested that in the sending of His Son and in Him dying on the cross of Calvary. We love that. God is love. Amen. We like that. And He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in Him. He that dwelleth in love. What's that mean? Dwelleth in love. He lives in love. He lives in the love of God to him. But because he has the love of God to him, he lives in that love in his life. Why is there such hatred going on between brothers and sisters in Christ? Is it because... What's the last part of this verse say? He that dwelleth in love liveth in love. Love liveth, love is manifested in the life which he lives, dwelleth in God, and God in him. All right, is there such bickering and fighting going on between so-called brothers and sisters in the Lord's churches because they're not dwelling in God? That's sobering thoughts, isn't it? You see, we're certainly not manifesting the love of God when we get at odds with brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, preacher, you know, we're still living in the flesh, and so we got to contend. Well, that's an excuse. That's a cop-out. We're not looking to God. We're not looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for the strength to overcome our differences in the flesh. Love. Love, as 1 Peter in chapter 4 tells us, covers the multitude. Love, agape, covers the multitude. Book of Proverbs tells us, love covers a multitude of sins as well. Now, nothing is of a more edifying nature in the church than love. Did you get that? Nothing is of a more edifying nature in the church than love. You want a text? You want a verse? You want scripture? Turn with me back to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And because we're going to 1 Corinthians, I ask you, who was this penned to? Who did the Holy Spirit instruct Paul to write this to? He instructed him to write it to the Corinthians. It was addressed to the church at Corinth. So he's addressing it to a local church. And this is what he says in chapter 13. And verse 13, after taking us through all the steps of what love doesn't do and what love does do, he says this in verse 13. And now abideth faith. I have faith, you say. And we jump up and down. I can show you those fighting brethren. They say they have faith. And they say they have hope. And they're looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now abideth these, faith, hope, and charity. Love. These three. But the greatest of these, what do you suppose he's about to say is the greatest manifestation? Faith? Well, without faith, it's impossible to please God. No faith, no hope. So surely faith must be the greatest, right? No. You see, love is the greatest. Why is love the greatest? Because love manifests the faith that you say you have. Galatians 5:6. Faith worketh by love. You see, love is the greatest of these. So, love is the more edifying nature in a church is love. It does the most to edify, to build up one another in love. Each member is responsible for this. This has been our study in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. writing to the Ephesian church, he's writing it to every single member of that church. And he's trying to show that each and every one of them are responsible to contribute to the well-maintenance of that body of Christ. Each member of the Grace Baptist Church is responsible to contribute to the well-maintenance of the Grace Baptist Church in Melbourne, Florida. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. In chapter 10. Each member is to surround each member. Surround them. What does it mean to surround? It means wrap around them with love. Come at them with love from all sides. That's a good way to put it. Come at them from all sides with love. Not with hatred and strife, bitter envy, jealousy. We'll be getting into evil speaking of one another, which you find so prominent in so many of our churches. But Hebrews chapter 10, and look what he says in verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Notice this. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he that wavereth, for he is faithful that promised. I was trying to mix James in there. It didn't work. For he is faithful that promised. Now notice. Hold fast our profession of faith without wavering. Well, how do we do that? And let us consider one another. Let us look to one another. Not to myself. Let us look to one another. Let us perceive. Let us observe. Let us understand. Let us observe with attentiveness. To provoke. The word provoke comes with from a word that means to incite. It means it's like they used to have a prod for cattle. Now they have a hot stick for cattle and for hogs and stuff. And they just give them a little poke of that hot stick. And boy, that's come a moving. You can get them to go where you want them to. Well, that's what they used to do with a prod, which was a sharp stick. And point on the end of it. And we're to incite, we're to prod one another along. To what? Prod one another along to love and good works. You see, we're to have such love, and we're to come at one another from all sides with love, encouraging them and inciting them, prodding them along to do the same. To one another. To love and the good works. Not to, well, as we're going to start next week, Lord willing, getting into not as the world does. I mean, we have a lot of fighting, bickering going on in the world. It ought not to be in the Lord's churches. He's telling us, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Well, how can you encourage me and prod me along in love if you're not here? How can I encourage and prod you along in love if I'm not here? This is the place that Jesus Christ has fitly joined us together, fitted us together, and compacted us into one. Not someplace else. But here, you see. And we're to be here when the doors are open. You say, well, who determines when the doors are open? Well, the church does. Church determines when the doors are open and when they're closed. And when they are here, are open, we're to be here unless, of course, providentially hindered. Each member, then, is to be building up in love. Turn with me in another passage on this subject here. The book of Colossians. And look at it. You see another reason here that love, of faith, hope, and love, charity, the greatest of these is love. Here's another reason why it is the greatest. Why it just has to be so that it has the most to promoting, to building up in love. Colossians chapter 3, and verse 14. And of all the things that he mentions there, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And then he says this in verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity. Why? Because if you have charity, if you have love, all those other things you'll be doing. All those other things he mentioned, you'll be doing. And this he says about love. This he says about charity, which is the bond of perfectness. It is the cement. Love is the bond. It is the cement between the saints, so that we are perfectly joined together. See? Without love, without Brother Ron loving as he ought, without me loving as I ought, and showing him love, and showing you love, and you showing me love, and showing one another love, we're not joined together perfectly. We're to be brought together unto perfection. Love is the bond of perfection. Brings us to that perfect state. Brings us to that perfect state, which is what we've been studying about the last few verses here in the fourth chapter, is it not? In growing from where we're at to perfection. Going on to that perfection in love. And perfection in Christ. Christ loved. Christ manifested agape. He manifested enough. He died for me. He died for me on the cross of Calvary. You see. So, each member is to bring honor and glory unto Christ. And if doing that, we'll be bringing glory unto God. Isn't that what he said in the third chapter? In the church, concerning the church. If we're doing that, as a member in this church, in the Lord's church, here at Melbourne, what's he say? Verse 21, unto him, unto God, of chapter 3, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You see, when we are operating as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, each member joined with us to do and building up and building up one another in love, bringing us to that state of perfection, that brings honor and glory unto God. What's that say about when numbers are out of union with the body? When they're out of union with another member. That church cannot bring the full honor and glory to God. They would if we were all walking in step as one in the Lord. Shall we stand? Be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Harold, would you dismiss us today?